The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Station and also streaming on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barton. I'm a fitness coach and I own a gym called The Shed, and it's here in Sandpoint. And I'm joined by Jill Kahn, and Jill is a marriage and family therapist also in Sandpoint. And each month we come together and discuss topics on mental health issues, relationships, and fitness. And it's been a while, Jill, since we've seen each other.
It's so fun to catch up.
We'll catch up in a second.
Yes.
But on today's show, you're going to be talking about how to ease vicarious trauma. There's a lot going on in the world.
There's a lot going on in the world, and self-care is crucial right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I'm going to talk about ways to kind of reboot from the unhealthy pandemic habits that have been formed. And I have them. I'm guilty, but I'm concerned. We've lost some really special people in our community, and we're still struggling.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can share some tips that'll get people to take that step to make some changes.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So what have you been up to? A lot.
Well, my big thing is I got my hip replaced. It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow.
Wow.
Yes. And it went really well, and I can't say enough good about Dr. Schicker and the local care that I got.
Nice.
Just really went so smoothly, and after 5 days, we flew to Florida for my recovery.
Gosh.
Well,
how'd that go?
The road was so bad at our house, the ice. There was no way I could walk, and I ended up taking my walker in the malls.
Wow.
First in Coeur d'Alene and then Bonner Mall, which was one of the most depressing experiences I have ever had.
Oh my God.
Get me out of here.
I can't believe that.
So it was so great.
Yeah.
And people told us where to go. The beaches were flat. So
perfect.
It was easy to walk. It was warm. It was just the most perfect way, because I was able to walk 6 to 8 miles a day. Within a week, I was walking without a cane.
It's amazing the recovery, how it's changed with the replacements.
Yes.
It's like you're up and going right away.
Yes. Yeah. I was just, walking every day, and it really made it just encouraging. I felt so good about it.
Do you do any other physical therapy with that?
Well, he doesn't necessarily prescribe it, but I went back to Total Physical Therapy, Helen, Heather, and I've been working with them, so they give me other exercises. But I started teaching Zumba after 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I went back to yoga on Saturday and lifting on Friday.
Yeah.
So I just kind of went back in and jumped into my normal workout routine, which feels really good.
I notice I have a lot of clients who have had, maybe a knee replacement or hip. And when it's not right, it's not right.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it's done well, it's like your recovery. Like a beautiful thing.
It was great. And the other thing is that the knee that had been hurting for 3 years stopped hurting.
Yeah.
Which they said, right?
Yeah.
And Alex said, I can't believe it. I just watched your whole body musculature change, get back into alignment.
Yeah. No more compensating.
Yeah. So the other thing I do want to put out there, since we're talking about health, is I'm going to try the PRP, the platelet-rich plasma.
Oh.
So there are 3 injections once a week, and the idea is that we can either delay or avert that last joint being replaced.
Oh, interesting.
So I will keep you apprised as to how it goes.
And is that something you can do here?
Yeah, Schicker does it.
Okay.
So I just go into the office and he gives me an injection and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. So what about you? The trip to New York sounds fabulous.
I've got to go. We were talking about this before we went on air. I have clients that I have who live in New York, and when COVID hit, that's when I got them through a friend here in Sandpoint. And 2 years I've been working with them 2 hours a week. And so getting to know them, they getting to know me, you form relationships and friendships. And I just felt like I really needed to, there was a piece missing. And that was, in the gym, there's the touch where I can reach out and there are hugs and really that connection.
Yeah.
And it was so worth it. I went with my 2 oldest daughters. What an adventure.
And New York is fun. And they
live, these Shed people live in Manhattan and all throughout Manhattan. So, up north, and then all the way down in Tribeca. And so we just spent each day in their neighborhoods walking. The first day I was there for half a day, and we already did 7.5 miles.
Yes.
I mean, it was in, but what I loved was that they are almost, I would call them historians. It would be like walking around with someone who grew up in Sandpoint, and they would, all the buildings we could go into that you normally wouldn't be able to, but they would know someone.
Wow.
So we could see this old architecture, or like the French consulate we went into, and just so you could see the marble in the ballroom. And but there was a bookstore that they knew about, so we could get in there.
Oh,
so
cool.
There's all kinds of wonderful things that we got to do. And my favorite day was meeting my friend Marguerite at Columbia. And she teaches at the university.
Oh, that was Columbia. I thought mm-hmm. so, because my daughter
mm-hmm.
went there.
Mm-hmm. And so she teaches journalism. We rode bikes all the way from Columbia down to Tribeca.
Oh, wow.
All along the Hudson. It was
How
sunny
fun.
And beautiful. And just to, it felt like I was on the, going across the Long Ridge.
Oh.
I mean, it really wasn't, the crowds weren't huge. It was, I have Jeff, he wants to go. I mean, it wasn't as scary as we are led to believe from the media.
I always feel, you mean in New York?
Yeah.
I love New York.
Yeah, it is where we were at least felt like a small
yes.
communities. And it was so interesting to see all the different cultures and foods. Oh my gosh, the food.
The food.
Yeah. So it was fantastic. And I'm planning on going back again in the fall.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
yeah,
so glad.
It's been awesome. So that's what's going on, but let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have to go back to some serious topics. And
yes.
we're going to talk about how to ease the vicarious trauma going on right now.
Yes.
All right. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden, a fitness coach and gym owner in Sandpoint. My gym's called The Shed, and I'm joined here with my friend and licensed marriage and family therapist, Jill Kahn. And Jill has a practice in Sandpoint. And our first topic today is Jill's going to talk about how to ease some of this vicarious trauma that we're experiencing.
So I really want to highlight the impact of what's going on in our world
mm-hmm.
on our mental health.
Yeah.
And, of course, by correlation, our physical health.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've all been contending with the pandemic. And it's interesting, I don't know about you, Jen, but the shift to not wearing masks.
Oh, it's weird.
Isn't it weird?
So I am more like I was not as careful. I'm not wearing them as much because I just feel it. And it's hard for me with anxiety to wear that mask all the time. But I, you know, was very respectful of others. Going to New York was a completely different. It helped me so much understand why they are much more serious and how it spread so quickly. I mean, North Idaho is a whole different scene.
Yes,
and especially where you and I live.
Yes, we live remote.
We have no idea.
No,
going there and having that dense population inside a restaurant, like you're sitting 6 inches from the table next to you. So I completely understand why it spread so quickly and why they're very cautious and
yes.
continued with the mask mandates.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an interesting transition.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as you said, we've lost quite a few people
yes.
in this community.
Yeah.
And it's not totally over. I think things are better.
Mm-hmm.
I was relieved to hear when I went in to have my surgery that there weren't any COVID patients.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had the sustained stress of that. But now we've got this, this looming war.
Yeah.
And I know for me, my anxiety about the possibility of nuclear war
mm-hmm.
or what would happen if we got into World War III, and that is an anxiety that is there on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always kind of checking in. You know, the mass shootings that continue to happen
mm-hmm.
continually. And for me, always the environmental fears.
Right.
What's happening? So we have all these external variables, and we're touched by them in various ways. But they're talking about now vicarious trauma,
mm-hmm.
that even though it may not affect us directly, we're experiencing the consequences of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really see it in my practice.
Mm, I bet.
I really see people whose stress level, and it's been the sustained stress now, is taking a toll on relationships, on people. Their suicide ideation is increased. People's levels of depression and anxiety, all of those things are really, really problematic. And those of us who are feeling the unrest or the anxiety or sense of doom, all that is predictable and normal.
Right.
Even though it's not good for us.
Yeah.
And it feels terrible. So we can't really get rid of it. It's with us. But we can make it more manageable. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I want us to address today is what can we do to kind of deal with it? The first thing that I want to talk about is the sources of information. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So disinformation spreads like wildfire during times of crisis. That's a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, I was just listening to NPR this morning. They were talking about how in Russia, they're getting disinformation about what we're doing here in America.
Right.
Yeah? So it's a problem. We really have to question the sources. Mm-hmm. And one of the suggestions is that you don't listen to just one source, that you have to really follow credible sources and really pay attention to making sure that it can be corroborated by other news sources. And Twitter accounts are not credible typically, right? I mean, it may or may not be, but it's not, they don't have to be held accountable to the same standards as so
kind of like
journalists.
Is podcasts similar to
Yes. Those news sources, anybody can say what they want without having any kind of verification. Yeah. So you want to find multiple sources confirming the same information. That's really, really important. I know for me, I check in with NPR in the morning and in the evening. And then I also look at some other news sources on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I look at some news magazines. So trying to really get a bit of a broader spectrum.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Information.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, really importantly, is to set boundaries about how much time we spend.
Right, because it is like a continual, repeating the same information.
Yeah. We do have to really set some boundaries with ourselves. But then we have to take a break. And I think it's really a good idea to set aside a block of time where you know you're going to check in on the news. And for me, that's in the morning when I'm making breakfast and in the evening when I'm making dinner. So I might listen to it for anywhere from half an hour to, you know, maybe an hour, hour and 15 minutes. But just after that, be done with it.
Right.
And the problem is with a lot of people is that they're listening to it throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know, there's the scrolling, they're listening to podcasts, they're doing it. And I think really compartmentalizing how much time you're being exposed to the media. If you find yourself reaching for your phone at night when you can't sleep, so rather than scrolling through the news, do something lighter or funny or, you know, that's healthier. So another option that we have is to turn to mental health experts on the social media. That's another alternative. It can be really helpful to listen to. I listened to Brené Brown.
Uh-huh.
I find her really kind of inspiring. Mm-hmm. I also really love the woman who wrote Come As You Are, Emily Nagoski. Mm-hmm. She's great to listen to. TED Talks.
Right.
TED Talks are a wonderful source of information. And if you're looking on Instagram, there's also an Instagram site I love called The Secure Relationship, which is all about attachment.
Oh, nice.
Attachment styles. It's really well done. So you might kind of sift through and see if you can find some mental health experts that are useful and inspiring and not so dismal.
Right.
So there are lots of therapists who offer things. But again, whatever they post online shouldn't be taken as direct mental health advice, right? And if you're not talking to somebody directly, that's good information, but it may not apply directly to you if it's not congruent with what's going on with you. But it can be a calming voice when your brain is kind of spinning out of control. So the next thing is trying to keep a normal routine. I've heard of a lot of people lately who end up staying up late at night
Yeah.
And they're playing video games, they're binging on Netflix, sometimes reading, but yeah. not so much.
Right.
But routines, and I think a lot of people are sleeping later than they used to. Mm-hmm. All of that can be really problematic, especially when we're up too late and we sleep in too late. Your biorhythms get off. So try to stick to your normal schedule, and that's bedtimes, waking times, working if you're able to handle it, any other regular aspects of your routine. So when this stuff happens in a world that's out of control, we feel that loss of control in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can stick to our normal routines, we regain a sense of control and normalcy.
Sure.
And our brains and bodies feel like we're back in control if we do that. I love my morning exercise routine.
Yeah.
That 8:30 every morning.
Just, you have to stick with it. I think that's what I got, you know, got me through COVID, because I was thinking about preparing the notes for my topic, and you know, some people really it affected, and they kind of derailed them, and they did develop the bad habits, and they did get out of the routine. It actually, being locked down, allowed me to really set and establish a routine.
Yeah.
And fill that morning and day up.
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, that's the one thing you can control is your routine.
You can. So I was talking to one of the women in my Zumba class this morning, and she said, oh, it feels so odd being up early. Because she wasn't comfortable coming into the gym for a long time, she was sleeping in later.
Wow.
And so she said how good it was to feel like she kind of got back on track and did something. So obviously, in conjunction with that, move your body in some way.
Right.
Too many people are not doing that again. And our emotions need a physical outlet. To relieve some of that anxiety and tension, do something physical.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, the best thing to do is, easiest thing to do is go for a walk.
We can all walk.
We can all walk. And we can walk again now.
Yeah, and we should be.
We should be.
Yeah.
And it feels really good. And you can do some light stretching, yoga, just turning on music and dancing, lifting weights, anything. But the idea is less about exercise and more about moving your body, but also using moving the body as a way to get your feelings out. So it's not frivolous to feel affected by what's happening in the world right now. And suppressing anything you might be feeling only contributes to your poor mental health.
Mm-hmm.
We know that when you're stuffing feelings, and a lot of people are doing it with food.
Yeah.
It's a very common problem.
Yeah, this is great because it is going to tie into what I'm talking about. And I mean, in alcohol consumption.
Yes. That's the next one I was going to talk about too, because we know that we can use both alcohol and food as ways to avoid dealing with our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important to acknowledge how you're feeling instead of dismissing it. So while you get this temporary sense of not having to feel the dis-ease of your negative feelings, it's going to come up and bite you in some other way.
Right.
It's really important that we make space for acknowledging those feelings. You know, we've been at home talking a lot more about, I'm feeling anxious, right? And where no one would have said that maybe 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, we're saying, I feel really anxious about this or that. So having that opportunity to really share your feelings is really, really important. And that might include crying, So we know that crying can be therapeutic, even screaming. Some people go into some place where they can and just get it all
out. Well, let's take a break, Jill. This is great. And when we come back, we'll continue this discussion. All right, you're listening to Functional Health Radio. Welcome back to Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness coach and own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed, and I'm here with Jill Kahn. Jill is a marriage and family therapist and has a practice in Sandpoint, and we're talking about just all the trauma going on and how to kind of ease ourselves back in and handle situations. And so Jill's been sharing some great information.
Well, we do want to be mindful of what our coping mechanisms are.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and almost everyone, I think, has been contending with things. We were talking during our break about the other thing is the inflation, right?
Yeah.
That's another source of anxiety for people,
gosh.
Right? So all of those stressors, and yes, is it easy to grab a drink with a friend and in the midst of a stressful situation or, you know, having a glass of wine when you're watching TV?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I'm really mindful about is I never drink in front of the TV.
Oh, interesting.
I just don't. For me, it's, you know, maybe if I'm going to have a glass of wine while I'm after work, it's sitting down, maybe in the hot tub, out on the deck while I'm cooking dinner, maybe a glass of wine during dinner.
But so it's not so automatic? Is that?
Well, it is not continuous,
okay.
right? I think the problem that people get into is they start drinking and then it continues for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And for me, it's really a matter of, I like to have maybe a glass of wine when I get home and or during dinner,
right.
But then it's done.
Yeah,
I'm finished. I don't want any more, and I'd start drinking water.
Yeah.
So really noticing what are your habits?
Right.
Right. For me, the one that's so insidious is those frickin' kettle chips. My son brought those in the house, darn it.
Yeah, mine are the juju fruits.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know.
It's bad. It is the salt. And I think I've never had a problem eating chips before. And suddenly it's this.
Yeah, we all have our thing.
Oh, my gosh. So paying attention to that and trying to break those reliance on unhealthy coping mechanisms. So just notice that. I mean, for some people, it's even pornography, right? I've had some of my clients saying they've increased their use of pornography as a coping mechanism, right? Anything that distracts us from the discomfort that we're feeling, we have to watch out for. I think walking is probably one of the better things that we can do to
and
distract us.
And thank goodness we're getting into nicer weather.
Yes.
Because, you know, when it is colder and it's winter, it is kind of hard to go outside and feel motivated.
It was especially hard with those icy roads,
It
was terrible. So be careful about that. Be aware of those habits and when they might be turning into something more insidious. And when you notice that you're overly reliant on food or alcohol or, you know, edibles or whatever it is that it is, reach out to a mental health expert. That's really important that you get some help if you're doing that. And congruent with that is reaching out for extra support. Again, we're holding a lot of tension and anxiety, and we need to be able to talk about that. Now, that could be, you know, the people in your family who you love. It might be your coworkers. It might be your therapist, whomever it is. But it's really important that you have people that you identify, that you trust, to share your feelings with. And those support systems are absolutely crucial during these periods of unrest and trauma. So the more that we can talk about the distress that we're under, the healthier we're going to be, both physically and mentally.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much negativity we can handle before it comes out in those unhealthy ways, right?
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot.
There's a lot.
It's just like we've moved right from COVID to the economic crisis and now, you know, the war. And so it's just when we thought we were catching some air, it's a slam back, and it's hard. It's very hard. And then people are still passing away. You know, we're losing people. And, you know, even my daughter just got COVID. I thought it was over with.
Wow.
I was like, oh, we're fine. Oh, no,
not.
We're not.
So really important that we pay attention to how you feel and how you behave, right? So if you notice that you're withdrawing from other people or that you're not keeping up with your usual routine, irritability is a key sign of depression. People often don't realize it. They assume that being depressed means that you're being blue, you feel blue. But irritability is another symptom of that. Or feeling any kind of intense emotions. Maybe you're kind of reactive and you're quick to anger. Any of those things, those can be indication that you might need some professional help. And the same applies if you're seeing this in people around you, friends or loved ones, you might notice that they're not doing very well and talk to them about that. So again, those reactions are normal to what's going on in the world, but we need to have the kind of support systems
in place. Surround yourselves around people that you can talk to about. Like today I was grumpy. I woke up grumpy. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, I told Jeff, I'm grumpy. Don't have any particular reason. Could be all of what we've been talking about.
Yes.
But at least being able to identify it and recognize, oh, this is how I'm feeling today. I don't really can't pinpoint any one reason, but well, I need to watch. Is it because it's dark again? Like, what is the deal? Do I need vitamin D? What, you know?
Yeah. And just a reminder of one of the strategies I use with my clients that I think can be really helpful in this time. That is the mad, sad, glad, bad. Right, that we sometime during the day check in with either whether it's our children or our partner, and we say, well, what made me happy today? That's the glad, right? What made me sad today? What made me mad today? And what made me feel bad? That's simply that little exercise and anxious, right? Scared. That doesn't really rhyme, but it's still there. It's important. But those five feeling categories, I think, are very, very good that we, and whether you might want to journal. Some people who live alone don't maybe have somebody to talk about, but journaling that. Yeah. But that identification of feelings is very, very therapeutic. So again, some other things that you can do. Focus on what you can do. I know that there are quite a few websites now that are suggesting things that we can do to help the Ukrainian citizens. One of them is renting an Airbnb, and
yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, that's one of them. But there are some other sources you can donate. So focusing on positive action that can maybe make a difference is important. Even if you do something locally, it doesn't have to be the Ukrainians. It can be, I've been feeling about people who really may not be able to afford food. And I'm concerned about that,
It's expensive.
It is expensive. And I thought, maybe I need to make some donations to the local food bank. So thinking about what can we do to make the world a better place.
Right.
That's a very good antidote. Staying informed only to the extent that it feels healthy. Yeah.
There is a line where this is not helping me. Now I'm just completely absorbed in something that is not healthy.
People can get obsessive. And I've had some of my clients talk about their friends who've gotten totally obsessive.
Yeah.
And that is not good for our mental health. The other thing I love, watch something funny.
Exactly. We were even like ordering books that are entertaining and light.
Yeah.
That's something like that.
So Alex shows me Saturday Night Live frequently.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And we watched a fun film last night, The Adam Project.
Oh, nice.
It's about time travel, but I have to say Ryan Reynolds is really funny.
Yeah.
So that's good. That does provide a lot of stress relief. I like this one too. In addition to working out our body, we need to work out our mind. So maybe it's crosswords, puzzles, maybe it's Sudoku. My personal favorite is learning a new language.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So my daughter-in-law is Italian, and we're hoping to get time with her family. So I've been doing my Duolingo every day, teaching myself a little Spanish. And having those sorts of mental challenges are a good distraction and a healthy way. It's a great antidote for Alzheimer's as well, that we learn new things. So, and the other thing that I love is I'm always looking for new songs for my Zumba class.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New songs playlist. And new choreo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a little... St. Patrick's Day playlist, which is very fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, lots of Ed Sheeran.
I bet.
Yeah. Then try something new, right? We need to stretch ourselves. So it might be something like in the volunteering domain or advocating for some group that you're interested in. It might be creative outlets like art or music. Teaching yourself a new hobby, all those things are helpful. And then the old classic, breathing, right?
Yes.
So if you notice yourself getting agitated and stressed, I've been doing this with my husband. I kind of take him through some breathing exercises, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So one you can do is like breathe in for four, hold for four, breathe out for four, hold for four, and repeat that, sort of like a square, right? Think of it like that. You can do different breath patterns, breathing in for four, out for eight, any variety of them. And there's a great app called Calm that will take you through some of those breathing exercises. So really giving yourself, even if it's 30 seconds, right? It doesn't take a lot of time, but finding space to do that kind of slowing the breath and calming yourself can be really helpful.
I like, actually got an Apple Watch, and it has this mindfulness moment in the morning that it kind of dings, and then you have a minute to think about one thing that you're going to focus on for that day.
Oh.
Which has really helped me, because I don't, when I'm stressed in the way the world is right now, really, it'd be easy to get so scattered.
Yeah.
Having one thing to focus on, whether it's just to focus on my health today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, being positive, you know, when I'm working with people. You know, just one thing, you know, and it just, it seems to, it was working, so.
Yeah.
Just narrow it down.
Well, the other thing that really works for me, and I spent a long time doing it yesterday, is planning a trip.
Me too. Yeah, I agree. Looking forward to something down the road.
Yes.
Positive.
Really, really helps.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, well, we'll start our discussion on how to get rid of these bad habits.
Yes.
This is Functional Health Radio. Welcome back to Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barton. I'm a fitness coach and a gym owner here in Sandpoint, and I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, and we've been talking about ways to kind of ease this trauma we're experiencing, and you had a couple, two more tips that you wanted to share that
yes.
are great.
Yes. So we definitely need to disconnect from our devices. That's really important. Letting go of TV, computers, iPads, phones, you know, people are spending way too much time, especially on their phones. I'm hearing that in my practice.
I'm so guilty.
It's a huge problem. So we really have to block out times when we disconnect. But then what do we replace it with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing more listening to music. I've been trying to find new artists to listen to, and sometimes I dance to them. But the other thing that, hot tub, that's the other thing I really like with every completely disconnected. But the other thing we can do is like a little mini vacation.
Yes.
So we've talked about this maybe mm-hmm. before, but just closing your eyes. And I know for me, having just gotten back from the beach, mm-hmm. it's easy for me to transport myself right back there.
Yeah, because that's pretty amazing.
Yes. So, you know, imagining feeling that warm air and the smells, the sounds of the birds, the waves, just the feel of the warmth, taking yourself to a place that is a safe, soothing place for you, mm-hmm. and just checking in with all your senses to experience that. That reset makes mm-hmm. a huge difference to bring our anxiety level down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one more thing that mm-hmm. I particularly love, hanging with your pets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. I take such solace. We have this little routine when we go up and we watch a movie at night. My dog curls up on my lap mm-hmm. and she stretches out and we are just the happiest.
Yeah, it's Trooper is with me everywhere I go, and thank goodness, because he's just a snuggle bug and he brings so much joy. I've always had a dog in the gym also, because it just is like therapeutic for all the clients.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's very therapeutic. So hang out with your pets.
Yeah. I love it.
So let's shift to the reboot.
Oh my gosh, we need a reboot, because let me tell you, our unhealthy pandemic habits are horrible. And I've been struggling with this for about 8 months. It's frustrating for me, and it's probably frustrating for you in the health industry. It makes me sad to see so many people struggling.
Yeah.
And not able to stop and go back to their old ways.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how to help them other than to be present and listen and try to encourage.
Yes.
But it is their journey.
Yep.
But boy, we've lost some people in our community that, I don't know why they passed, but, you know, looking at the health wasn't great. And
right.
we talked about, you know, a few shows ago, avoiding going to the doctor, you know, during COVID. I needed to get a colonoscopy. I needed to, you know, do all these things that, my excuse was, well, no, I'm not going into an office, you know?
Yes.
It's so important not to give up those appointments.
So we have really gotten on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Alex had a little itch on mm-hmm. his shoulder, and he went and got it checked, and it's early melanoma.
Yeah.
And I just got this morning, I thought, I'm going in now,
sure.
too, because it scared me
yeah.
that he found that and got checked, and you know, that, and I went in to see the gynecologist last week. I hadn't had a checkup in a while. I'm going to get my teeth taken care of. I went in, and they said, you know, you really should get a mammogram. This doesn't, you know, just go ahead and get a mammogram. So all of those things, I really want to push people to do that because it's easy to let it go, and if you let it go too long.
Trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
can be. Yeah, I did it too. I made myself a checklist, and I didn't overload myself.
Yes.
But every month, I would knock one of those things off.
Good.
And it's done, so I feel good about that. But it's hard to watch. And so, I mean, I don't know. I was reading these, and I heard this story on NPR last week, and it was really great. But our alcohol consumption during that first week of the stay-at-home restrictions went up 54%.
Whoa. That's amazing.
Can you?
Wow.
I'm not talking about a little problem. This is a huge, I mean, I understand the restaurants closed and there were other circumstances.
Right.
But still, a study also documented a 41% increase in heavy drinking among women the months that followed. And heavy drinking is defined as four or more drinks for women within a few hours.
Wow.
41%.
Wow.
So we're not coping well.
No.
Because the study also found that these people are still doing it. So the number of alcohol, the percentages hasn't dropped.
Wow.
So we're continuing down the road.
Yeah.
Also, when we started with the lockdown, people were gaining 1.5 pounds per month.
Woo!
So that's a lot of food. Remember, everyone was baking?
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, that's still going on. We're actually, there was an increase in movement and steps each day once we kind of got past Delta. But then Omicron came on and winter.
Yes.
And so then it dropped back down. And I want to try to find this one thing on the older adults. It's like 65 and older, they still... I can't find it. They're still struggling.
Go ahead and look. Just a quick thing I want to interject. I'm getting ready to do a cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, for a reboot, sometimes what I need to do is just eliminate sugar, white foods, and alcohol for a period of time and really get myself cleaned out. And I'm a huge advocate of that because I know for me, it's harder to break the habit if I just allow myself to have, you know, well, I'll just do this. But where if I really say, okay, I'm going to make a conscious effort to really take care of my body.
Do you get a buddy to do it with you?
I am this time.
Okay. I think that's a great idea. Even getting into fitness again, get a buddy.
Yep. Yep. My son and I are doing a cleanse together.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
High blood pressure has increased by 2 points per person. So,
wow.
I mean, we're really, and then not going to the doctor. And so that you add the alcohol, the weight gain, and the blood pressure, it is the trifecta of bad.
Ooh.
So,
yikes.
Yeah. So my tips would be to schedule your workouts, schedule your exercise, make yourself a priority. You know, just like you go to the doctor, make an appointment, you can make an appointment to go for a walk, a run, or go to the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grab a friend, like we said, and set little goals. Like,
yes.
I'm committed to walking 4 times a week. Don't say every day. You know, do something that you can achieve. You know, I did one for like push-ups each day and stretching. You know, just pick things that you can achieve. And that starts that pattern, gets us out of the other habit.
Yes.
Create a new habit of 21 days of commitment to that. And I think we can get back there, but you got to have to make it fun. So.
Well, in small chunks too. You know, one of the things that I'm doing sometimes is even like a 10-minute ab workout.
Yes.
Online, right?
Yep.
Just take 10 minutes to work on your abs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have to.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing the world is this way now. So we need to figure out how to cope in a healthy way.
Yes.
And make ourselves a priority again. This one idea was kind of cute. You bet on yourself. I guess there's science to back up some idea that if you, I bet you I can stick to this plan for 30 days with your friend.
You're more likely to do
something.
It.
Exactly. So I never even thought about that, but I thought that was a great idea. I mean, I think the gyms are open, the mandates have been lifted, and we need to get back and start living our lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have to make our bodies and minds a priority, and also our relationships.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Jill.
Yeah.
I'll
good
see
to
you
see
next
you.
Month.
Yeah.
This has been Functional Health Radio.